Blog Talk Radio.
Get your house in order.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to another new edition of Gospel Gold. I am your host, Reverend Mike Rogers. I am glad you have joined us tonight here on Gospel Gold. Of course, you know that Gospel Gold is on every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're here every Monday night. Tonight, we're here live in the studio for a new edition of Gospel Gold. It is November the 9th. the year of our Lord 2020. And we are live in the studio tonight to bring you a new edition of Gospel Gold. We pray that God has blessed you and you'll continue to go forward in all that you're doing during this difficult time in our nation. I always want to tell people about Gospel Gold. Gospel Gold is not just another music program. It is a program that is dedicated to the tradition and the history of traditional African-American gospel music. You see, Africa is where it all began. Of all the lavish gifts Africa has given to the world, the richest and the most unique is the combination of music and religion. Religion with rhythm. When our first African ancestors landed upon American shores, they brought with them their African rhythm, work songs, and field hollows. These are the basic elements of the spirituals. It is rhythm that drives American music. The spirituals, and by extension, gospel, the blues, jazz, ragtime, rock and roll, and even rap that we have today. The gospel music experience cannot be told in a short story or in a one-hour program. It is far too harmonious, far too liberating. It's a living experience, always changing, always giving, always becoming the foundation that gave moral, physical, and spiritual support to a great and powerful people. It is our belief here at Gospel Gold, and the reason why we're here is to bring forth the history and the preservation of traditional African-American gospel music. We believe that all the music that we have produced on these American shores has its root in traditional African-American gospel music. Because of the adversities that we have overcome on these American shores, we express that in our music, we express that in our lyrics, we express that in our books and our plays. Everything we do is connected to the African-American experience that we have had on these American shores. Gospel music has been a shining beacon of hope, fantastic journey of joy divine, something that reaches deep down into the heart of God's chosen people and connects them with him, knowing that God will lead the way. So that's what we're about here at Gospel Gold. We're about preserving the traditional African-American gospel music. If you enjoy gospel music and you enjoy particularly traditional African-American gospel music, we invite you to go to our Facebook page. That's the Gospel Gold Facebook page. Go there, hit the like button, and don't forget to share. Let others know that Gospel Gold is on the air. We're on every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to our Facebook page. There you will find articles about various gospel artists. You will find some of the music that we play here on Gospel Gold. You'll also find the link for the program each week here on Gospel Gold. And all of the programs here on Blog Talk Radio are archived, which means that you can either go to the Blog Talk portal or you can go to the Facebook page, Gospel Gold Facebook. Find the event that you would like to hear, open that event, and click on either the web link or you can call in. We do have a call-in number, a live call-in number, and that number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can speak to us directly in the studio tonight. We always say that when you want to listen to good music, you want to make sure that you're listening through a good listening device. We are in stereo. We want you to be able to hear the quality of music that we play here. So we thank you for joining us tonight. We pray that you will continue to join and support Gospel Gold. Gospel Gold is sponsored in part by Faith That Lives Ministry. And you can be a supporter of Gospel Gold as well. We have a Cash App. And that Cash App, of course, is Gospel Gold with the two G's, our capital. And of course, with the Cash App, you put a dollar sign before that. And Gospel Gold, one word, the two G's are capital. You can be a supporter of Gospel Gold. You can also email us at gospelgold@songwriter.net. gospelgold@songwriter.net. We would love to hear from you. You can also put your comments on the Facebook page. If you have any requests or you have any additional information or suggestion for a program that we can do here on Gospel Gold, you can put that on the comment section of the Facebook page. But we invite you to go there, to the Facebook page. Don't forget to like and don't forget to share so others will know that Gospel Gold is on the air. Before we start our program tonight, we always start with prayer. If you don't mind, pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We pray, God, that something be said, something be heard here tonight that will encourage your people to keep on giving you the praise. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We hope you will enjoy our program tonight. I'm going to play a song, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to introduce our program for the night. Here's Blind Willie Johnson, and Let the Light from the Lighthouse Shine.
Let it shine on me. Let it shine on me. Let your light from the lighthouse shine on me. Let it shine on me. Let it shine on me. Let your light from the lighthouse shine.
That was Blind Willie Johnson. We did a feature on him last season in on Gospel Gold, Blind Willie Johnson. If you have not guessed yet, our program tonight is somewhat different. We play different types of gospel, and tonight our program is called Work Songs and Field Hollers. Every week when we come on to Gospel Gold, you'll hear me do my introduction to Gospel Gold. And I always say when our first African ancestors landed upon these American shores, they brought with them their rhythm, work songs, and field hollers. These are the basic elements of the spirituals. What I'm saying there, beloved, is that all the music that you hear that we have produced on these American shores has its root right there. Contrary to popular belief, the first sounds that were recorded by our people was not the Temptations. The first songs that were recorded by our people were not the Supremes or Jackie Wilson or anything in that era. We're going way back tonight. We're going to talk about the first recorded sounds of our people. And from those sounds and from those rhythms came all the music that we have produced on these American shores, whether it be spirituals, whether it be gospel, blues, rock and roll, jazz, rap, whatever genre of music that we have produced on these American shores had its humble beginnings in work songs and field hollers. And this is what it sounds like.
My love. me to pull these weeds.
Whoever hoes, you turn around, dig a hole in the ground. Whoever hoes,
Emma works harder than two grown men.
Whoever hoes, you turn around, dig a hole in the ground.
Sounds like these were the first sounds that our people made. Of course, these sounds were recorded later on in the 40s when Mr. Lomax went down south and for the Smithsonian Institute to record those sounds. But they were recorded. They were sung during slavery time when there was no recording of our people's voices. But those were some of the similar sounds that you would hear then. And this developed into what is known as the spirituals today. Listen.
What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? Yes, he died on Calvary. 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 What do you think about Jesus? 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 Yes, he died for you and me. 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 What do you think about Jesus? 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 Are they whooping him all night long? 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 What do you think about Jesus? 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 He never said a moment away. 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 What do you think about Jesus? 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 He will save your soul. 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 What do you think about Jesus? 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 He's all right, all right. He's all right, all right. He's all right, all right. All right, all right. What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus?
That was Reverend Robert Walker's, recorded in 1942. What do you think about Jesus? That's what our program is about tonight. Our program tonight goes back. We're going back. We turn the hands of clock back. We're going back to the very basic of our music and where our music came from tonight. The work songs and field hollers and how it developed over the years into various genres of music. We have produced such great music that one would never know that the music that we produce that you hear today or even 20 years ago or 20 or 30 years ago had such humble beginnings. There was a documentary that was produced several years ago called The African American Music from Spirituals to Jazz and Blues. I'm going to play a little bit of that tonight because I think that covers a lot of the area that I want to deal with tonight. They could do it a lot better than I can. There is so much to be told in this area, in this particular part of our music, the very beginning, the humble beginnings of African-American music on these American shores. But this documentary, The African-American Music from Spirituals to Jazz and to Blues, very worthwhile documentary. If you ever get your hands on it, it's a very visual documentary. I'm going to play an excerpt for it tonight.
Went down to the River Jordan, where John baptized three. But I walked the devil in hell, said Johnny baptized me. I say, roll, Jordan, roll. My soul arise in heaven, Lord, for the year old Jordan.
African-American spirituals developed out of the agony of individuals stripped of their home and identity, forced to travel to an unknown land and become slaves. Slave labor was excruciating and demeaning. Spending countless hours of backbreaking labor under the sun, slaves began singing songs to pass the time. Through several generations, work songs and spirituals developed as ways to pass the time and communicate with one another. Work songs focus on the rough conditions faced on a daily basis. Slaves were prohibited from talking about their master or overseer, so they often incorporated code words to mention subjects that were off limits. Slaves were often expected to sing by their overseer if they were being silent. Constantly being oppressed and physically abused, these songs took on a sorrowful tune and told stories of hardship and struggle. Ex-slave Frederick Douglass once wrote, "The songs of slaves represented their sorrows rather than their joys. Like tears, they were a relief to aching hearts." Slave spirituals are often the most well-recognized forms of early African-American music. As slaves on plantations or in the city, African-Americans were allowed to attend Christian church. They often stayed after service to participate in song. Slaves took the common Christian themes of repentance and deliverance and incorporated them into a genre that would become one of the biggest influences on early American music. These spirituals also ignited a strong religious faction among slaves. Themes from the Bible, like the Exodus, became a metaphor for slavery, substituting the Mississippi or Ohio River for the Jordan River. Songs like Follow the Drinking Gourd became a metaphor of the Big Dipper, giving slaves directions to the Underground Railroad. Contrary to myth, slave and work songs were actually organized, intelligent compositions. Their music has historically been labeled as monophobic, meaning there is one melody, one note at a time. This is not true at all. Upon dissecting these songs, one can see that their music is actually homophonic, as the melodies often include accompanying parts and rhythms. One of the most crucial elements of slave songs, known as syncopation, actually originated in Africa. Syncopation is a rhythmic technique which involves stressing beats that are not normally stressed. Drums and other percussion instruments were banned on the assumption that slaves would use them to communicate ideas of escaping or uprising with each other. so they implemented stomping and clapping to create cross rhythms that went against the fixed beat to create a sound previously unheard of to white settlers. Slaves that could play instruments, however, were allowed a banjo or other stringed instrument. Some songs use a call-and-response style of singing where a lead singer will call out a short verse and the rest of the workers, known as basers, will respond with the refrain, usually with a recurring theme. An interesting and crucial aspect of this nature of music is that it is imperfect. Basers may begin the refrain before the leader was finished with the solo, or the leader may begin the solo before the chorus was finished. This type of call and response created a unique blend of melodies and high and low pitches that were bound together by strong rhythmic elements. The actual songs sung were unique in themselves as they portrayed striking imagery without the use of rhyme scheme, as most songs originated as improvisations. Spirituals became synonymous with hope, whether for freedom or perhaps the darkest form of emancipation, death. Regardless, slave songs shared a common theme of fighting. Disguised as good versus evil or God fighting the devil, spirituals invigorated African Americans' desire to fight their bondage and free their souls.
And before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
Throughout American history, African Americans have been patronized and continue to face prejudice in their daily lives. It has been said that humans use forms of art as an outlet in their daily lives. Music, for African Americans, was a path used in their struggle following the abolition of slavery and the ending of the Civil War. One way in which African Americans became involved with music was through minstrel shows. Tracing the inception back to Chatham Theater in 1843, a white Irish American Protestant with a black face sat on stage with three others dressed in plantation or slave-like clothing singing tales of slave life. This was the first performance of Emmett's Virginia Minstrels and is still generally considered to be the birth of the commercialized blackface minstrelly show. In their early form, these impersonations were conventionally staged by white male performers blackening up their face and, when they were not wearing white gloves, also blackening their hands. The visual picture was completed by dance, music, and song performances. This form of entertainment became a central part of the saloons, taverns, and music halls across Britain. Glasgow, a city, departing point for America, had developed close ties with certain American states, such as Virginia, a place where American musical influence was truly alive. During this time period, sheet music was evolving. The evolution of sheet music led to more racial cues and circumstances throughout these shows. The Irish in America, as a group, used the phrase blacking up to establish its ethnic separation from other races across the country. There were two groups of Irish Americans that participated in blackface minstrelly. These two consisted of the Irish Catholics and the Irish Protestants. Christopher J. Smith suggests that when we examine all the sources, we should see that the roots of blackface minstrelly go back virtually to the founding of the American colonies. During this entertainment period, based on cross-race impersonation, blackface delineation, or minstrelly, consisted in the grotesque and caricatured impersonations of African-American men and were performed by white, British, or American men in most cases. However, after the end of the Civil War, blacks were thoroughly integrated into minstrel shows. When one race impersonates another for entertainment, reception becomes a barometer of ethnic hegemony, interracial politics, and power.
Oh, Mr. Billy! You know I'm crazy about my gal. I love that woman.
Tell me, Cotton, how do you kiss your girl?
Well, first you gotta get a girl. Then you draw her close up to your chest, smooth over with fond caress, put lip to lip and gum to gum, then close your smackers and yum, yum, yum.
Artists have been repeatedly tempted to appropriate and even try to reassign signifiers from this tradition, but blackface and its in-deniability associated minstrel repertoire retain the power to reopen these hard-to-heal-deep wounds. While most regarded them as a representation of African-American low cultural, one vision originated among whites and another originated among blacks. 20th century artists also had to address the derogatory way in which minstrelly represented black people. Most regarded them both as instances of African-American low culture. In today's society, we see the impact of minstrel shows and blackface performances. The language of modernity, therefore, involved a measure of what historian Michael North calls racial ventriloquism. Yet it wasn't only white writers who resorted to this practice. Although one might imagine that early 20th century black modernists would have seized the opportunity to silence the ways of minstrelly, in fact, they did no such thing at all. Minstrel tropes are still ubiquitous in black modernist literature. Wallace, Thurman, Langston Hughes, Alain Locke all used interrogate and revise the form of these minstrel shows. As the minstrel men of the 19th century encouraged styles of racialized masculinity, contemporary white youth, too, were attracted not only to the music, but various cultural artifacts extended beyond. What was once considered to be hip and cool for blacks was now beginning to be liked by whites. This began with the integration of black and whites in the minstrel shows at saloons and theaters all across America. Simply put, blackface minstrelly was for, by, and about the white community. Although in its early period it was a form of engaging the black other, it is misleading to suggest that this engagement might even have been supportive of action to correct the other's social plight. Black minstrelly promoted racism and undermined the African-American race during this time period, thus allowing prejudice and stereotyping to live on after the Civil War.
After the transatlantic slave trade had ended, it is during this period to which America witnessed the birth of a powerful musical expression conceived as the result of the black man's struggle for his survival and freedom. Known for his ability to endure, his spiritual strength, and his outstanding sense of rhythm, black men in America would use these characteristics to shape the sounds and ideas of their music in the years to come. The earliest trace of popular black music that still exists today is the blues. In the difficult period of transition from slavery to freedom during the mid-19th century, the blues became an outlet and a therapeutic release for black men to unburden himself from the cruel and harsh realities of his life.
She make me think of mine, think of mine.
It is during this time, while performing in the company of whites, that the black American singer had to develop dual personality traits as a survival mechanism by removing black slang, verbal codes, and suggestive material in order to appeal to the white crowds. At the turn of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th, the earliest forms of jazz emerged when black musicians and other African Americans became immersed in modern life and society. In what was originally known as a coon song during the American minstrelsy period, it was during the earliest 20th century where it acquired the additional label of ragtime. With the focus primarily based exclusively upon syncopated time and not so much melody or fine harmony, ragtime would become the precursor to modern-day jazz. Seen as a revolt against Victorian codes of behavior, the black American artists of this time were abandoning accepted musical styles of the time period and entering risky stylistic and social terrain. Being a direct challenge to Western norms and culture, the birth of jazz music was more than just music. It was a cultural movement, which influenced the attire, language, and attitude of all its followers. In this respect, jazz became a prototype for later forms of music such as rock and roll and hip-hop, because it was hated by the bourgeoisie and the musical establishment of that time period. Largely associated with the drug use and deviancy, jazz music in its earliest forms was referred to as the devil's music. One cannot discuss the rise of jazz without mentioning the great Jelly Roll Morton. Identified as a major influence on the development of early American jazz, the self-proclaimed inventor of jazz was responsible for writing the first complex and self-conscious compositions, deploying breaks, stop-time devices, improvising feeling, and the swing rhythm, all factors of jazz that would continue to shape the genre for decades to come. Growing up as a Creole in New Orleans in the early 20th century, Jelly Roll Morton became both the face and the talk about jazz music. Known for his flamboyant demeanor, Morton was also a whorehouse entertainer, an alleged pimp with a diamond tooth and a large wardrobe of flashy suits, making much of the American society associate jazz music with criminality and deviancy. Growing up in New Orleans, Morton describes the city as the stomping grounds for all the greatest jazz pianists in the country. Wherever jazz was being played, Martin notes how there was no discrimination of any kind, and people of different color and backgrounds mingled together just as they wished to, and everyone was just like one big happy family. Although by the early to mid-20th century, major cities like New York and Chicago both had established jazz scenes, they cannot be comparable to New Orleans. Historically, New Orleans was a major port, where on Sundays, a place called Congo Square became a destination hotspot for slaves and free blacks for Sunday recreation and market activity. Here, in Congo Square, African music was performed throughout the early and middle decades of the 19th century, leading many historians to believe that jazz, and by extension all black music, traces its genealogy to this iconic square in New Orleans. Another major reason why New Orleans had such a distinct jazz culture would be the city's complex social order of white, black, and Creole inhabitants, who each had their own unique musical performances and styles. With the racially mixed and diverse city, it is no wonder how New Orleans jazz became such a unique style and expressive art form. Although many see a direct connection between African music and dance and the early rise of jazz, Jelly Roll Morton stresses how early jazz was a unique product of America, not Africa. He notes how African music is nothing like no New Orleans music. Just like oil come out of Oklahoma, jazz came out of New Orleans. Starting with Jelly Roll Morton, followed by other New Orleans greats like Louis Armstrong and King Oliver, all three allowed jazz to branch out and become music that no longer only belonged to New Orleans, but to the world. While the blues, ragtime, and the evolution into jazz can all be traced back to African roots, it was the African-American who truly shaped the foundation of what the future of modern music would sound like. Although originally only heard in the streets and clubs of New Orleans, the once forbidden and demonic music scene would spread like wildfire and penetrate mainstream American culture, placing the black artists at the center of attention in the public eye. Characterized by their carefree, lazy, yet extremely personalized and intimate performances, it is the American black artists of the early 20th century that would ultimately shape the sounds of American popular music in the years to come.
You're listening to Gospel Gold on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, trouble soon be over. Sorrow will have an end. Trouble soon be. Oh, sorrow will have an end. Well, Christ is my foot on Pharaoh. He's my only friend. Carry me and I'm a star. Ain't tell me to be known how. Trouble soon be over. Sorrow will have an end. Trouble soon be. Oh, sorrow will have an end. God is my strong protection. He's my bosom friend. Trouble rose around me. I know who'll take me, and trouble soon be over. Sorrow will have an end. Trouble soon be. Oh, sorrow will have an end. He proved a friend to David, and he hid him in a cage. The same God that David served will kill me the rest of the trouble soon be over. Sorrow will have an end. Trouble soon be. Oh, sorrow will have an end. Well, though my burden may be heavy, I must crush me down. Someday I'll rest with Jesus in well starry crown. Trouble soon be over. Sorrow will have an end. Trouble soon be. Oh, sorrow will have an end. I'll take this yoke upon me and live a Christian life. Take Jesus for my Savior. My burden will be light. Trouble soon be over. Sorrow will have an end. Trouble soon be. Oh, sorrow will have an end. He proved
friend today that I hit hell now. Hate the same God that David said will kill me a red someday. Trouble knows me over.
That's what we are doing tonight. We wanted to go back and bring you up to date. We hope that you enjoyed that documentary. It told the story in its entirety in a very short way. I received an email from a brother from Laurinburg, North Carolina, Brother Charles, and he asked me, he said, every Monday I hear you use the phrase work songs and fuel hollers. And what does that have to do with the music that we hear today? So I hope that this program kind of explained that so that those who are particularly younger who are listening to Gospel Goal, you want to know what I'm talking about and what Gospel Goal is all about. This is what it's all about. It's preserving the history of our people and the great work that we have done musically in this nation. And so that's why I wanted to bring this part of the program to you tonight. We're going to change the pace a little bit. We're going to go into the gospel jazz a little bit. We're going to go through a brief jazz gospel interlude. We hope you will enjoy.
Says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the water he lifted me. Now save am I. Said it was love that lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. Thank you.
Lord, you know things aren't as they may seem. Lord, you know the things aren't as they may seem. Have a few dreams, oh, yeah. Oh, love.
Church, looks like our time is about up. We thank you for yours. We pray that you will listen again next Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another new edition of Gospel Gold. And don't forget, you can be a supporter of Gospel Gold. Our cash app is the $ Gospel Gold, one word, and the two G's are capital. You can be a supporter of Gospel Gold. You can contact us at gospelgold@songwriter.net, songwriter.net. And, of course, we invite you to go to the Gospel Gold Facebook page. There you will find all the pertinent information about Gospel Gold. We pray that you will have a great week. Keep on giving God the praise. Tonight we're going home with Nina Simone. What a blessing it is in Jesus.
Indeed.